Good morning, church. I hope everybody is doing well. We are going to begin a new sermon series this month, and we'll be talking about the promises of God. And I hope that as we go through this study, that we will be encouraged and strengthened to be reminded of all that God has promised to do for us and through us, and how we can have hope for the future. There's no doubt that this time of the year feels a lot different this go around than it has in the past. And I'm sure that we are all wondering and thinking about what the future will hold, and we are curious to how things will progress. And I believe we all have concerns about the future. I'm certainly concerned for the future. I'm concerned for the future of the church. I'm concerned for the health of the church physically and spiritually, and just not just here in Monahans, but all throughout our country. So many of our friends that we know, preachers and members of the Lord's church, have become sick or lost jobs, and I know it's painful and it's hard to think about that, but that's the reality we live in. But what I want us to think about for this morning is how these concerns, how these worries can really take away from our present reality, how we can allow them to consume us and take us over, how worrying about tomorrow's troubles will rob us of today's joys, that the present joy that we may have now can be taken away by simply being concerned about what the future might hold. In fact, worrying about these things is really unhealthy in many ways. We worry about them. It's a reality. We think about them, but these are not things that are ultimately controlling us. We are not to dwell on them every moment of every hour to where it consumes us and causes us to lose today's joys. But how often, I was thinking about this week, how often do we stress about things that never really happened? We think about them so much and we worry about them, and it just takes away from everything we're doing, and we can't focus on life, and then it never really happens. And stress can do that. It can take away today's joy and today's peace by simply consuming us in ways that we can really never truly imagine. And stress and anxiety and worry, these things sometimes are beyond our control, but there are things in this reality, in this world that we live on, that are far beyond our control. And for us to just sit around and dwell on those things is not going to be good for our physical health, our mental health, and our spiritual health. And the things that we lean on are things that God has put before us as promises and guarantees, things that we can hope for, things that we can think about. And what we really need is to have our priorities reset. Maybe this is the year. Maybe this is the time of the year that we sit down and we reset our priorities and rethink what it is God desires of us and how the future can be reshaped just based on our present thoughts and our hopes, that we can rest and stand on the promises of God now, and how that will reshape our future, how we can even be strengthened during these times of hardships, and consider these to be times of trial that are, yes, indeed difficult. I'm not trying to take away from the difficulty of these times, but what I want us to think about is how we can persevere through these times and come out better and stronger and able to face difficulties in the world and better serve God. And so what we need to think about is what we're really focusing on, what our mind is always focusing on. Are we constantly worried? Are we constantly anxious? Are we constantly concerned about what might happen? Or, you know, even a reality of what we're facing right now, we're thinking, yeah, you know, that this could really happen, but am I going to sit here and worry about it now? Where are my thoughts? Where's my mind? Or are my thoughts focused on God and His will and His purpose and what He desires of me? And how does that help me to persevere during this time. Jesus talks about worry in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. So I want us to spend some time looking at Jesus' words. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" How easy is it, just on something seemingly simple to us anyhow, how easy it is it for us to allow food to consume us? That we become consumed by just constantly, every day, day in and day out, thinking about what we're going to eat, you know, our next meal, and it becomes all-consuming when we are consumed by things like food. And it's not that we don't need these things. Obviously, we need these things, but all these things can control us. They can manipulate us and control us and have power over us. And Jesus is saying, don't worry about these things. Don't focus on these things. What about what we're going to wear? You know, what are we going to wear today? What am I going to wear today? You know, I think about these things and it's kind of strange even to say this sitting here in America and thinking about this, because I know that there are so many in third world countries that would probably laugh at some of the things we concern ourselves with. And we think about, you know, what we're going to eat, not in the sense of, am I going to have food, but what do I want, right? What do I desire? Where there are so many who think, am I going to eat? Am I going to have food to eat for my evening meal? And if so, what is it going to be? I mean, is it going to be tasty, or is it going to be yucky? I mean, you know, we think about these things in such the reality we live in. But so many have different perspectives of what they eat and what they wear. But even then, these things can consume us, and we need to keep our minds focused on those things that will not take us away from the will and purpose of God. Our whole life, if all of our time and all of our focus is consumed by food and clothing and just the mundane things that we take for granted, that these things can rob us of true peace and true joy and true happiness in our present reality. And then Jesus says in verse 26, he says, give some examples. He says, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not worth more than are you not worth more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to your life? It's a good point, isn't it? I mean, how much time have you added to your life by just sitting around and worrying and stressing and having anxiety? I mean, how much time have you added to your day? How much productivity do you have from that? How much joy have you gotten from worrying and being anxious and being stressed about things in life? What good does it do? Does it add any time to your life at all? No, of course it doesn't, but I mean, we know today that even these things like stress and anxiety and worry, they not only are they unproductive, but they take away from our life. Mentally and physically, we deteriorate in the inside when we're constantly stressed and constantly anxious, and these things are not good in any form. But more importantly, as Jesus's point, they take away from our conviction and confidence and trust in the promises of God, that they take away from what God has in store for us. These things that we hope for and that we are anxious for can take away from the true hope that we find in God. And then verse 28, he says, "And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" Now, I think we need to put things into perspective. Jesus is not saying that we need to all quit our jobs and, you know, sit on the streets and wait for God to just clothe us and feed us and we just do nothing at all. That's not his point. In fact, the scriptures teach us that it is wise for us to store ahead of time, to make sure that we're ready and prepared, and that we have things, and that we share that which we have, and that we work and we take care of our families. And these things are things that God desires for us to do. But what he is saying is that there is a problem when we're consumed. There's a problem when that's our whole focus. There's a problem when that's all we think about, and that's all we do, and all that we have out of life is just this pursuit of things, of stuff. And when that is our focus, and that is our goal, and that is our purpose, then it's taking away from the life that God has in store for us. It takes away from the very things that God desires of us. And then Jesus goes on. And he says, "Do not worry then, saying, 'What will I eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing?' For the Gentiles eagerly seek all of these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things." So it's like saying that they really have nothing else, right? These Gentiles, they've got nothing else, right? They have nothing else in life that's important to them, that their whole life revolves around and focuses on these things. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? And what am I going to do? And that's it. That's it. And what kind of hope is there in that kind of life? What kind of future is that? What happens when these things fade? What happens when these things go away? What happens when the food is no longer there? What happens when clothing is no longer available? What happens to that person's joy, their hope, their confidence? Where is it? If it's all placed in the stuff, if it's all placed in the pursuit of that, then those things are not going to last, and neither will they. That they too will fade away along with the things that they held so dear. That those things that they really wanted to hold on to, even their own life, if that is what they want to hold on to, that will fade. But when we put our trust and our confidence and we eagerly seek something else outside of this life, outside of this world, outside of ourselves, and that's our goal and that's our purpose, something eternal, God himself, when we desire him more than anything else, when that is what sustains us and keeps us and motivates us and moves us, then those things will not fade away. They're not going to go away. As disciples of Jesus is telling us that we know, right? That we know. We have confidence that God knows that we need all of this stuff. We need food for our bodies. We need clothing for our bodies, that God knows that we need these things. We're obviously not expecting bread to come down from heaven. I think sometimes people think that way. It's not what we're expecting. We don't expect to walk outside and in the morning and find bread. And we don't expect for our clothes to never wear out so that we never have to replace our clothes. God's able to do that. He has done that. He's capable of doing those things. But that's not our expectation. That's not our expectation. But I do want you to think about this. In the United States specifically, have you ever been to a congregation where there have been members that are homeless? Have you ever been to a congregation that there have members of that congregation are starving to death and have no food? Have you ever been to a congregation where people have nothing at all, that they're just living on the streets and they come in and they worship with everybody and they go back to the streets without food, without clothing? Have you ever been to that kind of congregation? Because I haven't. I've been to congregations all over the United States, and I've never been to a congregation that's had that within it. When it comes to the people of God, we take care of each other, don't we? Now, it's not to say that hasn't happened, right? I mean, obviously, the church has gone through a lot over the years, and there have been times when everybody is in that situation. But I'm just saying, in general, when others have and we have a level of prosperity, such as we have in the United States, that there is nobody in our congregation that's going to be living on the street without a home and without clothes and without food, because the church will take care of them. And in a sense, that's how God is providing for his people, right? His family is being provided for by the members of the family. That God is making provisions through the people of God to take care of each other and provide for one another and to be there for one another. Do we have to worry? Well, not really. Will we face hard times? Maybe. Will there be members of our congregation who face hard times? Maybe. But they have the family of God to be with them and walk with them and work with them and make sure that they have their basic needs met. And that's part of being a family, isn't it? And we need to remember that that's part of this promise that God has for us, that he's going to take care of us. And if we're part of this family that belongs to Jesus, that belongs to God, we will be taken care of. And Jesus says, instead of being worried and eagerly seeking these kinds of things, what we will eat and what we will wear, what we ought to be doing is putting our energy somewhere else. We need to be eagerly seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. And Jesus says that all these things are going to be added to us. That if that's where our focus is, if that's where we're headed, if that's what we're focusing on, these kind of things, these eternal things, Jesus is saying that these things that we could be focused on, that we could be chasing after, we'll have them, we'll be provided for. God's going to take care of us. The church will take care of us. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 when Satan was tempting him to turn these stones into bread? And Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 8 in verse 3. And he says that it is written that man shall not live on bread alone. We're not going to live on bread alone. We're not going to be focused on that. That's not going to be our sustenance, right? When we are people of God. That we're not going to live on bread alone. It's not saying that we don't need it, right? But it's saying that our main focus is to do the will of God, is to focus on the one who provides the bread. So that when we eat the bread, we're grateful for the bread that our God has provided for us. And Jesus makes that point. We don't live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See, that's where sustenance comes from. God promises, and we believe it. We believe it wholeheartedly, that God is willing to do even the impossible at times. And I hope as we go through this month and we study through these lessons that we'll begin to see that God provides for his people, that God is a keeper of promises, that God will do what he says he's going to do. And these are the things we stand on. Those are the things we rest on, that we seek first, of first importance, of most importance. We seek those things of a higher value. We prioritize those things. And Jesus says that we seek first his kingdom, right? The rule and reign of God. We seek the rule and reign of God in our own lives, in our communities, in our families, in our church. See, that's what we need to focus on. We need to be seeking that out and making that a priority. It needs to be top priority in our life. God's promises, seeking first the kingdom. And then Jesus talks about seeking first his righteousness. Now, if we were to have read through the Sermon on the Mount all the way through, we would have seen that this is a major theme for starting in chapter 5, verse 20, when Jesus tells his disciples that their righteousness needs to surpass even the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes. And that would have been really tough, because if you were to ask people in that day, who's the most righteous among you? They would say, well, Pharisees and the scribes and Sadducees, these are the righteous people. But Jesus says, no, you as disciples need to have a righteousness that even surpasses the righteousness of the elite, so to speak, of your society, the Pharisees and the scribes. So the disciples of Jesus, they have to have acts of righteousness that are in line with the way and the will of God. That what we do and what we say and how we act and how we behave is in line with the character and the will of God himself. That we are mimicking our Heavenly Father. We are a product of God. That we are showing the world what it looks like to live within God's reality, how he views things. And all of that is motivated not by glorifying oneself, but by a deep desire to please our Heavenly Father. That's where our motivation comes. They need to have a right relationship and with others, with each other, with other people, even people of the world. Even people of the world, there needs to be righteousness amongst our relationships with even worldly people, but especially those who belong to the household of faith, those who are God's people, that we need to have that relationship and that connection, and we need to have that relationship with God, that righteousness that we have through Jesus, to have a right relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's a righteousness that is taught by Jesus, right? All throughout the Gospels, all throughout the New Testament, Jesus teaches us how to be this righteous people of God. But it is a righteousness that we obtain through Jesus that is modeled by Jesus, that we learn about it and we are part of it in a way that the Pharisees would have wished to be part of it, right? I mean, they tried to obtain righteousness by their own methods and their own glorification to say that they are going to work themselves up to righteousness. We get it not by our own merits or our own righteousness, but we get it through Jesus and our faith in him. And we live it out every day as we model and be like our Savior and be like our God. And he says, so do not worry, Jesus says. Don't worry. I know it's hard, isn't it? When you think about it, you think, tell somebody not to worry about something. You tell a mother not to worry about their child, or you don't worry. And it almost kind of seems hollow sometimes because you're thinking, well, how can I not worry? But then again, it's about where our focus is. It's where our heart is. And Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't be focused on that. Don't be so consumed by what is to come that it takes away from the present. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Tomorrow will have its own concerns. Tomorrow is going to have its own worries, right? And we know that. We know that right now. We know that in the future, that when it comes to the next day, who knows what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But if I sit around every day, all day, and I wake up in the morning and I think, oh man, tomorrow, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. What's going on today? Everything is just being drained, right? I mean, everything I do and everything I think about is being taken away from me. That my present joy and my present peace is being robbed of me, because I am so overly concerned about what tomorrow will bring. But disciples of Jesus don't have to worry about tomorrow. We don't have to worry about what's going to happen or what's going to come. Yeah, things might happen. Things might get progressively worse. But ultimately, as long as we have our faith in Jesus, and as long as we're seeking the kingdom first in our lives, and as long as we're seeking out his righteousness in all that we do and say, doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter because of who we belong to, that we belong to Jesus. Even Paul in Philippians chapter 4, Paul says that I have learned, right, to be content in whatever circumstance I am in. In verse 12, he says, I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. And we don't think about that, right? That prosperity itself brings about more difficulties. You know, the more things you have and the more you take in, the more you have to care for those things and worry about them. And, oh, am I going to be able to keep them? Is somebody going to come along and take them from me? Am I going to lose them? How do I preserve them? And so even prosperity itself has its own concerns and its own worries. Poverty has its own concerns and its own worries. You know, we have to be focused on the right things. And Paul says, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstance I have found myself in, right? He is serving the Lord. He belongs to Jesus. He is part of the family of God. He has learned to be content regardless of his circumstances in life. And then he says, in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having an abundance and suffering need. And then he says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. See, Paul understands that as long as he is doing the will of God, as long as he is focusing on the right things and putting those things first in his life, as long as his priorities are in the right place, as long as his mind is set on the will of God, then his circumstances are just circumstantial, right? They're just circumstances. Whether he's rich or whether he's poor, whether he has an abundance, whether he's in poverty, it doesn't make any difference, because his work and his purpose and his mission is more important than all the stuff that he can possibly get. Because he knows, right, that if he's doing the will of God, that his strength comes from God. It doesn't come from him. He's not able to do all these things on his own. He's not able to obtain righteousness on his own. He's not able to inherit the kingdom of God on his own. He's not able to save himself. He's not even able to go out and bring people in to the church by himself. That these things are God's work. That he's this instrument, this tool that is doing the work of God. And God's going to provide for him. So as we go through this time, I know that right now it weighs heavier on us than it has. But even as we go through this time right now and we think about maybe the things that we wish we could do, maybe the people we wish we can be with, maybe the circumstances just don't feel right. And I know that we're going through times of struggle and it can be depressing, right? But what we need to do now more than ever is to reset and refocus and think about the things that God has done, that God has provided. Think about the promises of God. What is he doing for you and through you? And focus on those things. Then be confident that he will give you the strength to see this through and to be able to move forward and to prosper in Jesus. To seek first, as Jesus says, the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And at this time, Joe Barrow is going to come forward, and he's going to have a word, and he's going to lead us in our closing prayer.